This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. A week after presidential elections in Ukraine resulted in a political stalemate, massive street protests, allegations of fraud, and demands for a re-vote show no signs of abating. Ukraine's parliament has declared the election invalid, and the country's Supreme Court is due to take up the issue tomorrow. Adrian Karatnitsky is a senior scholar at Freedom House, a New York-based human rights group which helped to deploy more than 1,000 international election observers in Ukraine. He just returned from the capital city of Kiev, and he's on the phone from New York. Hello, welcome to the program.
Happy to be with you.
Opposition leader Viktor Yushchenko demands a re-vote, and the idea is gaining support. Is that the only way out of this crisis?
Well, I think there are two ways out of the crisis. One is for the Supreme Court to examine the evidence of gross violations and to declare in certain districts some of the votes invalid, because there is just very clear-cut evidence, both in the form of audio surveillance tapes and in the form of physical documents. The ballots are they look like there's a lot of evidence of ballot stuffing. So theoretically, they could simply declare portions of the vote invalid, handing the victory to Yushchenko, or order a recount. And it seems to me, and the third alternative is if they do neither of these, then I think still the power is with the people in the streets, and eventually they will prevail. So.
Well, you've given what the Supreme Court is likely to discuss and is going to consider the case tomorrow, but how long will this process take, do you think?
I think the opposition is only ready to give them a day or two. They don't want to go into the winter. They don't want the momentum of the protest to drag on. They don't want the election to be stolen from them, because they really do think, and I think there's compelling evidence to say, that they won the first round by about 9 to 10% of the vote.
The declared winner, Prime Minister Viktor Yanukovych, met with his supporters today in eastern Ukraine, and he put out a warning. He warned that the country is on the brink of catastrophe. What does he mean by that?
I think that the leadership of the country is on the brink of a catastrophe. Those people, the thousands who participated in the falsification of ballots, the people who've raided the coffers of the Ukrainian state to enrich themselves, these irresponsible oligarchs, they are on the brink of catastrophe, and they're basically buying time in the end game to try to cut as good a deal, potentially to get immunity from prosecution. I think that's what this is all about. I think it's very significant that while he was in the East with his supporters, the National Security Council, of which he is a member, was meeting, and he was not invited to take part, which means that even President Kuchma is gradually moving away from Mr. Yanukovych.
The protests have been going on in the streets for a week now, and given the scale, the large numbers of people, they seem remarkably peaceful. Now, you were just there. What was it like?
Yes, it is a remarkably peaceful group. The spirits are high. It's a heavily, what I would say, middle-class group. Ukraine has had a five-year economic boom, partly as a result of the policies introduced by Mr. Yushchenko when he was prime minister. There's a new middle class. All of Kiev is involved in this protest. They're housing people from outside the city. There's a lot of women in the leadership of the opposition and in the streets, and I think that also sort of lowers the testosterone level. There are nuns, there are religious leaders, there are intelligentsia, there are workers. It's a celebratory spirit. There isn't an element of fear, but there is a kind of an iron will and determination.
You talk about a missing element of fear. What position have Ukraine's military and intelligence services adopted in all of this?
Well, the Ukrainian intelligence services has basically gone over to the Yushchenko side. They've provided him with all the documentary evidence of the telephone intercepts of the president's and prime minister's staffers who were orchestrating the electoral fraud. That's been being handed over to them, and now has been handed over to the courts and made public to a degree. The army is saying that, and again, the National Security Council just met, and they said that they do not want to use force. They will not use force. All they want is for the protesters to allow people to return to the normal functioning of government. So I think that Mr. Yushchenko will go for that deal. They'll allow the president and others to return to the presidential administration. I think they will try to keep Mr. Yanukovych from going to the cabinet of ministers, to his office, because there is a move afoot to strip him of the title of prime minister, so that if there are new elections, he does not have the advantages of state power to try to rig a second effort at a revote.
And finally, and very briefly, given Russia had come under criticism for supporting the election, what outcome in Ukraine, considering that Russia had accused the West of interfering in the affairs, what outcome might be suitable to both Moscow and the West?
Well, I think that Moscow has no control over the events in Ukraine. I think they will deal with Yushchenko. It's very interesting to note that when Yushchenko was prime minister, Russia had the highest level of direct investment in Ukraine, so he's very open on an economic basis to cooperation. I think this is a great setback for Mr. Putin because it shows that people power can, in the end, overcome guided democracy and control of the media. And I think that that is the model that Mr. Putin fears above all, and the fact that Ukraine will now likely be a democratic state will have major implications for the future evolution of Russia.
Adrian Karatnitsky is a senior scholar at Freedom House. He spoke to us from New York. Thanks very much.
Thank you.